With Al not being able to be here this morning, Phil texted me and asked if I would step in, and I said I'd be happy to. And I had the advantage of seeing the songs that he had selected to sing. So many times, song leader will be asked to choose songs that are in conjunction with the lesson. I chose a lesson that's in conjunction with the songs. If we would first turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. We just sang of standing on the promises in 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 2. There we go. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The promises that we stand on have been given to us, great, exceedingly great and precious promises, so that we can escape the corruption of the world. Well, how do we escape the corruption of the world? Well, it's through salvation through Christ. If we would turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The promise that was given to us to be saved from corruption, to be given an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, comes through Jesus Christ, through his resurrection from the dead. And this Lord's Day, this Sunday, we will take an opportunity to remember Christ's life, to remember his death, his burial, and his resurrection when we partake of the elements, those that he established with his apostles, the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. But we are reminded here that it is because of his resurrection. And we need to be reminded of what Christ did for us. It wasn't simply that he was risen, that he rose from the dead, but that he humbled himself, and that he obeyed his Father, that he suffered for us. Philippians chapter 2, and we should be reminded of, as we look in this passage especially, what he gave up so that he could do this for us. Philippians, the second chapter, beginning in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Paul's message to those in Philippi is the same that is to us, that we need to work at our salvation with fear and trembling, because it's God who works through us. It is God who sent his Son to the world. It is Christ who made himself of no reputation, who made himself as one who was humbled and even faced death, the death of the cross, a very painful and excruciating situation, an event to go through, shedding his blood for our sins. And he did all this because he was doing it for us. He was humbling himself and obedient to God because he was doing it for us, all the while knowing that he could have prevented it. He could have not had it happen, but he was doing his Father's will. In Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 36, Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." We see already Jesus' attitude with his Father. He wanted, if it was his Father's will, for the cup to pass, but as we know, it was not his Father's will. But he was willing to do it. He wanted his Father's will to be done. And finally, in verse 47, "And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, 'Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him.' Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, 'Greetings, Rabbi,' and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, 'Friend, why have you come?' Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who was with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, 'Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot pray to my Father and he will provide me more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scripture be fulfilled that it must happen thus?' In that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, 'Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled.' Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." Jesus had the opportunity to call 12 legions of angels. At that time, a legion in the Roman army was about 6,000, so 72,000 angels could have been called. Of course, we know that with God, one angel would have been enough. We know that the point that Jesus was making is that he had the opportunity and the will to do the things to be able to call such a great army of angels. But he was submitting to God's will. He was obeying God's will. God's will was that he was going to suffer, that he was going to be hung on the cross, that he was going to give his life and shed his blood for our sins. And Jesus knew this and was willing to submit to it. His willingness to submit to this and to obey God should be the example and the pattern that we should have and should be a reminder to us as we take of the Lord's Supper, just what Christ was willing to do for us and what that sacrifice did for us. The fact that it is through that sacrifice that we have salvation. Let's remember this as we partake of the Lord's Supper.